Welcome to our Episodes podcast, where we explore teaching and learning in a digital age. My name is Philippa Kruger, and I'm the Global Head of Languages at Education Perfect. Today, we are lucky to be chatting to Rachel Chisnell, who is a science and chemistry teacher at Tairi College in Dunedin, New Zealand. Rachel is also a Microsoft Innovative Educator Fellow and is part of the Microsoft Innovative Educator Program. Rachel has been teaching for the last 10 years, and over this time has been involved in a number of very interesting projects alongside her full-time teaching job. One of these projects has been the Sustainable Development Goals Innovation Lab project, which is a network of educators that seek to improve education for students in rural areas or refugee camps of Africa. Rachel is going to tell us a bit more about this today and some of the implications that this has had on her classroom teaching. Hi, Rachel. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you've ended up where you are today?
Kia ora. I was born in Wellington, went to school in Christchurch, and I was interested in vaccination and immunisation, so I thought that career path in medicine would be a good idea. I came down to Otago University and found immunology. Then I found teaching at the university. So as I was doing postgrad, I taught some of the undergraduate labs and I really, really enjoyed that. So I went into teaching in a secondary college. Growing up in Christchurch, my family had a crib or a holiday home at the Rakaia River. So Ko Rakaia te awa, the Rakaia is my river. And I think it explains me very well. It's a braided river. So there's lots of little different streams. And so I have a stream which is, I'm a Microsoft Innovative Educator Fellow. I am also the PPTA ICT rep for Otago Southland. I have my school stream where I try to be the best classroom teacher that I can be. And then I have my projects, the Innovation Lab project, which we're talking about today. And then I try and keep my family as big as possible, but sometimes they do sort of get a little bit diverted. And so I have lots of little things going on in my life. And that's who I am.
And what do you love the most about your job?
That I'm not bored. Every day in a classroom is a little bit different, even if some of the things you're dealing with are not the best. So don't put your fingers in a Bunsen burner or please behave yourself, or dealing with kids who are living in really challenging environments or trying to support their learning when they're really struggling. And then other days I get paid to sit in the sun and watch cricket. So I think forming those relationships with your students and their families, and that my work is so varied, is what I love about teaching.
I know you've already sort of described a little bit about the different strands in your life, but what would be five adjectives that best describe you?
So I asked my friends for some help with this one, and I've been described as fierce, which I suppose I can be if I get really passionate about something. Advocative, so I really do try and advocate for quality, equal access for everybody, especially to technology. I am always learning and I do try and have fun.
So you've been involved in a number of really interesting projects, one of them being the Sustainable Development Goals or the SDG Innovation Lab project. Could you tell us about what the Sustainable Development Goals are and what this project is about?
Sure. So just essentially from the webpage, the Sustainable Development Goals, or also known as the Global Goals, were adapted by all United Nations member states in 2015 as a universal call to action to end poverty, protect the planet, and ensure that all people enjoy peace and prosperity by 2013. So it's a range of goals encompassing the environment, education, energy, quality, healthcare, to try and minimise the gaping inequalities that we have in our global society and try and improve the quality of life for everybody. The Innovation Lab project is where we are trying to bring the Sustainable Development Goals to students in what New Zealanders would call disadvantaged areas. It started with some refugee students in Pugu, Tanzania, and we are trying to introduce these students to these goals and empower them to come up with their own solutions for what they see as the biggest challenges that they face.
How did you become involved in the project?
The project was founded by Corin Timmers and Jennifer Williams, and I first met Corin at a Microsoft Educator event in Seattle in 2015. As part of that conference, we heard from Zayuddin Yousafzai, and I hope I've said his name correctly. He is Malala's father, and he stressed the importance of quality education for everybody, not just for the boys. And Malala is obviously a champion for getting education for everybody. Mm. We also, as part of that conference, Skyped into a refugee camp. And Corn was especially inspired by this and started the Kakuma Project, which is where he got teachers all over the world to Skype into the Kakuma refugee camp and teach the students. So I joined in that when I could. The time difference from New Zealand does make that a little challenging, but I would Skype in as and when I could, or I'd provide flipped learning lesson opportunities. So I'd record a little video or get my students to record videos, and then we would put them up online, and then when the internet was good in the camps, they could download them and watch them at a future time. That project has linked into several global projects that Corn has run, and I've been proud really to involve myself in some of them. And then that has expanded into the Innovation Lab Schools project, which got some funding for some specific gear and to help train the teachers. So rather than us just teaching the students via Skype, but also helping the teachers to have a more student-centered approach. And then the first class occurred about 6 weeks ago.
What sort of happened as part of that first class that you were involved with?
So yeah, it was amazing because to build the curriculum, I worked closely with Kate Murray in Ireland and Naomi, who lives in California in the United States. And we had worked on this curriculum over a period of months. It took quite a while, and we got feedback from other educators. It was a really collaborative project with Corn and Jennifer leading the front. We were all on a Zoom call with Corn, who was in Belgium, Kate in Ireland, Naomi in the US, and me in New Zealand, talking to these students in Pugu, Tanzania. And we each described what SDG was important to us. My SDG, or Sustainable Development Goal, is number 14, Life Underwater. And that is linked to my love and the feeling I have for the Rakaia River. But also, when I was younger, there were Hector's dolphins that used to swim at the mouth of that river. And every time I went to my grandparents' home, I would see the Hector's dolphins. And now I go there with my son and we don't see them. So it's a really poignant reminder for me that in New Zealand still we are not quite fulfilling that guardianship of the land as we and of the water as we should. So we each shared which sustainable development goal was important to us. So for example, Kate talked about gender equality and how sports players in Ireland, if they're male, are paid more than if they're female. And she had done a project with her students on that. And the students were then exploring the different SDGs. And then what made it really amazing was that Jane Goodall came to visit.
Wow.
And obviously, I think that she is an absolute goddess, but the kids just didn't care. They were like, oh, yeah, here's something else, but we're really into this project and really into this learning. And they were just like, oh, yeah, whatever. And that was the amazing thing because they were having this unforgettable experience. But you know how kids do. They were into what they were doing and didn't know who Jane Goodall was.
That's fantastic. And what have some of the lessons in the curriculum that you were designing for these students, what does that look like? Like, what have some of those lessons been made up of?
And we thought quite deeply about this and had lots of discussions because we didn't want to take the imperialistic view of this is what we think you guys need, here you go and do it. We really wanted the students to come up with their own problems. So the initial lesson was around identifying or just learning about the SDGs, what they were, why they were in place. And then from there, it was a bit of a brainstorming session for them to come up with the problems that were relevant to them. And so those lessons are just starting now. Then using a lean canvas model to work through, because you can say, oh, we don't have water, but to actually figure out why they don't have water. Is it because the river is polluted, or is it because there's a pipe that's broken, or is it because there was never a pump to begin with? So you actually have to really figure out what your problem is before you can fix it. And so you know who the right people are to go and ask for help, or how can you combat that problem? And I think of water because that's something that most New Zealanders would think of. But these kids might need internet access so they can keep in touch with their families, because their families sometimes get split up if they're looking for work and that sort of thing. Or they might need sports fields so that they can interact with their friends. Or, you know, you don't know what their big problems are. So we really wanted to try and empower them to identify what their problems were, think more deeply about what possible solutions could be, and then try and find some solutions.
And so what have you learnt from being involved in this?
I think that we're more connected than it's possible to imagine. And you can't just make assumptions about people in other countries. Living in Dunedin, I was talking about water and how Dunedin water is chlorinated. And so people were quite shocked. People had this assumption in New Zealand that everything is clean and green. And compared to a lot of places, it is. But Dunedin still needs to have its water treated before you can drink it. And people made the assumptions about our country that I might make about somebody else's. So it was an interesting thing. Also just, you know, that kindness goes a long way. It's been some of my time, but I know that I've made such a difference to some of these kids, and they might not have those same ideals as me, but you can still be kind. And that's been a really big thing for me. Also working in a collaborative way. So there's a lot of people involved with this project and trying to make sure that you get as many different voices and opinions and values and cultures heard so that you can do your best for as many people, I think is really important too.
Yeah. And what have been some of the implications on your teaching in New Zealand?
A better understanding of the Sustainable Development Goals, even just little things around how to make my teaching more sustainable. And I'll use an example of the egg challenge. I don't think there's too many science teachers in New Zealand that won't have done an egg challenge about how could you drop an egg from a height safely. And so giving that the additional parameters of being plastic free, so you can't just use a plastic shopping bag, or trying to use less plastic sellotape, can you use paper tape or just no sellotape at all. If every single science teacher in New Zealand did that, you would have so much less tape or plastic going into your environment. So I think sometimes when you think about being sustainable, you get a little bit overwhelmed. But actually, if you start small and lots of people do it imperfectly, that will make a significant difference. I think it's also made me challenge some of my assumptions. It's very difficult to treat your students equally and have equality, because they're not the same. You know, not all kids need to be treated the same at the same time. So just being more aware of those different needs and requirements of students in your classroom.
And so if there's any sort of teachers out there listening to this who are keen to get involved with this project, what can they do? Is there any websites they can go to, or people they can contact?
Absolutely. So and as I said, this is a really collaborative project. Corin Timmers, you can just Google him, he'll probably come up, along with Jennifer Williams. If you look up Kakuma, so K-A-K-U-M-A, the project Kakuma, that will take you to where you can volunteer to teach refugees. And if you look up Innovation Lab Schools, that will take you to a variety of projects. So at the moment, there's a climate action program. There's been lots of these global projects. There's also tree planting, so planted, but plant with an ed at the end for education, where there's been over 1 million trees planted by students registered.
Wow.
And they're still counting. Yeah. And if you're in New Zealand, there are a lot more localised SDG curriculum documents being made, because they were really only released in 2015. Those resources are just starting to come through. And I know that there's a group in Christchurch who are working on developing some curriculum documents. And there'll be different teachers sort of scattered around, I suppose. And you are also welcome to reach out to me.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Going a bit more general now, as a result of this project and all the other exciting professional development workshops you're involved in, what learning models do you strive to implement in your classroom on a day-to-day basis?
I really aim for student voice where I can, and to try and make my learning accessible to all students. I guess I do a lot of that through a tilted or blended learning approach. Fully flipped learning doesn't really work for my students. A lot of them have part-time jobs, or they go and they're busy on the farm. They don't have time to do homework that you would like them to do. But still, I remember talking to a colleague, Maddie Nicol, about this, and people were watching his videos at 2 a.m, the night before the test. While that's not necessarily the best time to be watching them, if that's when the kids need them, if you can be available then in that video form, then you're helping your students. I do have a personal sort of internal struggle around wanting broader learning experiences, but still needing to come back to paper-based assessments, particularly for our science curriculum. And I really hope in New Zealand, with our science curriculum being rewritten and the changes occurring to our assessment model, that there is more variety in how we can gather and interpret that data.
And do you have sort of any examples of some of the kinds of cool activities you do to make this learning accessible? You've talked about videos and things like that. Have you got any other sort of practical examples that you can tell us about?
I think the one that always comes to mind, and it started me on this, was when we have a task about heat transfer around a thermos flask. And so students had to write about convection, conduction and radiation and different aspects of a thermos flask and how that works. And I had kids with very low literacy, but they built me a flask. And so they went off scavenging to the skip and the caretaker shed, and they came back with some tyres and some cardboard, and they used an unsustainable amount of tin foil. But they could tell me that they were putting the tin foil on to reflect the heat back in. And they could tell me that they were using the tyres because it was rubber and it would insulate, and so it would stop heat going in or going out. And they were having a discussion about the lid, because one kid just was like, oh, I'm sick of this, and he wanted to just put a flap on. And another student said, nah, mate, we need to have it so that it screws in because the steam will make the lid pop off. And it was just that wee moment of this student understands that if you put a hot drink in here, it will change state to become a gas, and that will take up more space. And so you need to contain that gas inside the flask. And I realised that he understood it very well. He just didn't have the written language to put it into his written assessment document. And I think we probably have a lot of students who are trapped in that because they don't have that ability to write as well.
Yeah.
Or they can't be bothered writing it because they think, well, I know it in my head. Why do I have to write it down? And then some other examples I've used more recently, I think, is I'm a big fan of Minecraft. Some of my students absolutely love that. And so a kid that won't draw a sound wave will build it in Minecraft, or they will build an ear with all of the bones labelled. Or we do some work at Tairi College with the Sinclair Wetlands. And so students have built various aspects of the Sinclair Wetlands in Minecraft and talked about how, put, you know, that the gorse is used as a nursery plant for the newer native trees that they're planting, or that the seeds that they're sprouting. And they have this knowledge, and they will apply it in different ways, even if they haven't written it down. So how can I use these different learning activities for the students to show their learning? It's a passion of mine.
No, that's really great. And I can imagine that your classroom would be a very exciting classroom to be in.
Sometimes.
That's fantastic. Yeah, no, I think it all the time, I'm pretty sure. That's really awesome. Thank you. And just finally, to sort of finish off, as we're approaching the start of Term 4, do you have any advice for people who might be listening to this for, you know, surviving Term 4?
Yeah, it's going to be a great race, isn't it? It's so short this term. I always try and tell my students,
yeah,
I value them as people before I value them as their exam results. And we sometimes as teachers take ownership of exam results, but really they're the students. And students will remember us and how we treated them much more than they might remember the achieved merit or not achieved that they get in their chemistry exam. So I think trying to keep perspective of that big picture and value the whole person, but also to set boundaries and look after yourself, set a time limit for when you will help students or say you are available in these hours, and just be collegial with colleagues and students, because it is important that you look after yourselves. You can't look after others if you're not looking after yourself, so try and balance that work. Says she who is rubbish at balancing her workload, but I do try.
No, I think that's great advice for all of us, so thank you for that. And thank you so much for chatting with us today. It's been really, really interesting and insightful to learn a bit more about the SDG Innovation Lab project, but also about some of the really cool things that you're doing in your classroom. Thank you so much for your time. And for the people listening to this, I'm sure Rachel will be happy for you to get in touch with her about anything that she's talked about, and we'll pop her contact details in the description. So thank you so much again, Rachel, for your time.
Kia ora.
Thank you for listening to another episode's podcast. I know I found chatting with Rachel about her involvement in the Sustainable Development Goals Innovation Lab project really interesting, and it was great to hear what she has learnt from this project and some of the exciting things she's doing in her classroom on a daily basis. My key takeaway from our conversation was the realisation that a teacher based in New Zealand can really make a global impact. It is also great to reflect on the power of collaboration and how a group of teachers from around the world can work together to make such a difference. If you want to reach Rachel and connect with her, we have included her email address and blog in the podcast description. And we've also included some other useful links if you're interested in learning more about the SDG Innovation Lab project. If you'd like to participate in the discussion on any of our topics, please go to our LinkedIn group, Teaching and Learning in the Digital Age, where we post regular articles and would love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening, and look out for our next episode's podcast.